Welcome to Menawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. I'm C.B. Drogi. This week, Spirit Whisperer by Lynn Gazis. She dipped two fingers into blue paint and streaked it across the barn wall, then laughed and clapped her hands. "Amberly?" I asked. She turned and glared at me. "I know who you are," she said. "My brother sent you." I couldn't deny it. "What's happening, Amberly?" A hummingbird hovered and hop-flew from honeysuckle to honeysuckle. Amberly put down the paint and tiptoed toward the bird. So bright blue and green and red.
"So bright," she said.
She grinned, but I feel spirits, and I felt fear in the hollow spaces of my patch of sunlight. I waited till the bird flitted away and her gaze returned to me.
"Jagana," she said, "I am not demon-possessed and I don't need you."
I shrugged. "I don't really catch demons. People just say that." She returned to finger-painting the wall of the barn, one finger in yellow paint, and she drew a circle with rays above the streaks of blue, bright colors on weathered gray wood. "They're not demons, really," I said. "Just lost ghosts."
"She doesn't need to be driven out," said Amberly. "She's a child and she needs me."
"Usually, a lost little girl ghost will haunt her own family. Her mother or perhaps her father, maybe a grandparent or a sister or brother. But sometimes she haunts a stranger. Part of my job is understanding why. I build on what I've been told. Amberly, 35, widowed too young, no children."
"You and your husband," I said. "You weren't childless by choice." "Of course not," snapped Amberly.
"There's always an opening. All of us have an opening to the right haunting. I've struggled with my own openings sometimes." I sat next to Amberly, put a finger in the paint and drew a stick figure on the wall, brown like Amberly. I put a second finger in paint and sketched dragon's wings up above the blue. Then I wiped my hands on my nice clean tunic. Amberly watched but did not smile. I could see she wasn't to be easily won.
"You won't get rid of her," she said.
"You know that she'll leave you in the end. She's no longer meant for this world. She will leave for the next in time, however much you want to keep her."
"I don't care," said Amberly. "She needs me now, and I'll welcome her for however long she needs me."
"I can send her along," I said, "but I can only send her along if Amberly agrees." Amberly snatched the paints away from me. "Or," I said, "I can give you a different choice, help you make a special place for her." Amberly looked at me for a long time. I sat on my haunches and made myself small, small enough not to frighten a little girl ghost. Finally, Amberly nodded. That evening, as I selected paint and sparkles from my cabinet, I heard cursing. The front door swung open and slammed shut. Amberly's brother stomped into my parlor. No knocking, no by your leave.
"You are supposed to get rid of the demon," he yelled.
"Spirit," I said.
"Demon spirit makes no difference," he said. "You are supposed to get rid of it."
"That's up to the spirit and Amberly," I said.
"No, it's not up to her," he shouted. "She can't choose. She needs to be protected."
Half of my job is explaining how spirits work, explaining to the spirit fixated that the spirit will leave in time, explaining to those who love the spirit fixated that we can't just move the spirit along, but we can help. "It's not a matter of right and wrong," I said. "It's a matter of who can let the spirit go. When the spirit knocked, she let it in, and only Amberly can tell it to leave. Oh, it will leave, don't doubt it, but it will take its time. Unless Amberly, only Amberly, says otherwise."
"What use are you, then? Why should I pay you?"
"I can make her bond easier. Give her a little more control. Give her a space to hold the spirit close and a way to leave it for at least part of the day. Take it or leave it. It's all I have. Amberly's brother grabbed a bottle of sparkles and smashed it on the floor.
I'll leave it. I'll find someone who can do the job properly.
But in the end, he took the deal. They usually do. They take it cursing and grumbling, but they take it because there's no other deal anyone can offer. I brought the wood to Amberly's barn, and we nailed the pieces together to make the altar. We varnished it, and then Amberly herself drew the painting, selected the toys, and decorated the altar with sparkles that would please a lost little girl ghost. I did not tell her that the altar would be a double-edged deal, that her bond would be warmer at the altar, that the spirit would be less frightened, but that over time it would be harder to see and hear the spirit when away from the altar. I did not tell her because we who are spirit-fixated don't have a better choice, any more than our worried friends and family do. We finished the altar and I went home. I opened the door to the room beyond the parlor, the one that Amberly's brother hadn't entered. I sat at my own altar. Hello, little brother. I've brought you a new toy. Stay with me. Just a little longer. Just a little longer.
This has been Spirit Whisperer, written by Lynn Gazis. Thanks for tuning in to Manawaker Studios Flash Fiction Podcast. Need the perfect voice for your audiobook, documentary, or other project? I'd love to help bring it to life. Follow the tap link in the show notes to get in touch. And let's create something amazing together.